Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to Luce Trails and Tales. We take an extended look at the people and the places in rural America that truly make it what it is. Luce Trails and Tales made possible by Superior Livestock. The Bell Ringer sale is now next week, 83,000 head. Get more details about those cattle and how you can market the Superior way at SuperiorLivestock.com. The All-American Beef Battalion continuing to move into our 10th year of saying thank you. Nearly 400,000 now have been fed. We need your assistance and your volunteerism. More information at stakesfortroops.com. And my favorite destination in the nation continues to be Medora, North Dakota, on the web, medorand.com. Well, Happy New Year, Governor Pete Ricketts.
Happy New Year, Trent. How you doing?
I'm a little chilly today. I'd like to get a hold of my governor to implement some of that global warming I hear about.
Well, like I said, we had a nice fall. It was pretty mild, and we're paying for it now. It's the way it goes here in Nebraska.
Did you just say, Trent, don't be spoiled, it's reality?
Well, you know, it is January. It does tend to get cold in Nebraska in January.
Yes, I do know. All right, so I can imagine every media interview conversation you've had in the last 2 days involves one thing, right?
Most of it's been involved the budget.
Okay, we're not going to talk about the budget.
All right.
Yeah, I thought we'd do something fun first. This is a significant year for the state of Nebraska. And you held a little press conference last week, and I want the world to know Nebraska has made it 150 years strong. Tell us about why we should celebrate this.
Well, we really have the most wonderful place in the world to live here in Nebraska. I mean, it's just such a great place to raise a family, to build a career. And our 150-year anniversary, or sesquicentennial, is really a great way to celebrate the great history and legacy of our state. I mean, Nebraska really is what America is supposed to be. We work together with our neighbors. We're involved in our schools and our churches and our communities. And we really ought to celebrate all the great things about our state and our history. And that's what this celebration is about. My wife, our First Lady, Suzanne Shore, is working with a variety of different groups to orchestrate this celebration of our 150 years. And it will include things such as a fitness challenge, a volunteerism challenge. For example, we're one of the top states for volunteerism. We want to get to be number one in our sesquicentennial year. That'd be a great goal to reach. We also want to make sure we capture the great stories of our citizens, so we want to get them to post that online. And then we're also doing a series called Now You Know Nebraska, which will be short little, you know, 2-3 minute kind of things on Nebraska history that teachers will be able to use with school kids, and they're going to produce one of those for every day of the school year for the sesquicentennial. And those are just four of the different 13 programs they're going to have around the state to help celebrate our 150th anniversary.
What I heard you just say was that I'm talking to the wrong person about this. I should be talking to First Lady Suzanne.
You absolutely should. She is absolutely the expert on this. You are absolutely correct, and we can certainly make that happen.
Okay. Do I have to go through 3 layers of press secretaries to get her too, or can I just call her and put her on the radio?
Probably just call her and put her on the radio.
I heard it was once said that the governor of Nebraska felt like this is the greatest job in the world.
I do. I have got the absolute best job in the world. It is, again, we got the best place in the world, and I got the best job.
Just as a reminder, I still have that little soundbite, and I will use it against you if I ever need to. Okay? Just so you know. It's interesting. My High Plains Journal column this week, I talked about how in 1867, the first set of steers made their way up the Chisholm Trail, and it was really instrumental in reconnecting the United States post-Civil War with the resources in the East completely destroyed and decimated. And those cattle came up, got on a rail car in Abilene, Kansas, went into Illinois. They were fed for a period of time. They were fattened in Illinois, then sent on to Chicago. And Augustus Swift put them on a refrigerated rail car, sent them to the East Coast. Literally, all of that reconnected the United States at what I believe is one of the most, well, no question about it, one of the most divisive times. I think we've just come out of the second most divisive time myself. And we have that same dichotomy taking place where rural and urban really need to come together and celebrate the accomplishments that we have, whether you're talking about 93 counties in Nebraska or whether you're talking about globally. But the reason all of that ties into what we're talking about here today, Governor, is that was 1867, the same exact year Nebraska became a state. That's significant.
Yeah, that is. And, of course, we have continued here in Nebraska to be a part of that great tradition of raising the best beef in the world. And that's part of what we ought to be celebrating, is, again, the great heritage we have in our state and how we have contributed to our great nation.
Yep, absolutely. I did not know, I was not in tune with this top 10 on the volunteer list. We will push us to number one. That, I can embrace that and get behind that. That's way cool.
Yeah, we've got about, we're at, ranked at number six right now with about 32% of Nebraskans volunteering time. And part of the volunteer challenge would be for folks to get out there and volunteer at their church, their school, the library, wherever. You know, just take that time to be able to contribute back to their community because, again, we just got so many wonderful things that are going on and lots of opportunities for all of us to be involved in. And frankly, it's also not only a great way to give back to community, but it really helps enrich the overall, you know, fabric of life here in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. All right, enough talk about that with you. Next time I'll get the real expert, and we will we'll talk about increasing the percentage of people volunteering. Last week there was a report out that this is how it was written. You can tell me if it's right or wrong. The Obama administration is just sticking it to the states who did not support Hillary. Nebraska now number one with 502 refugees that have been resettled, is their word, resettled in Nebraska. North Dakota is number two on the list. What do we know about this? What's real?
Well, it's difficult to know exactly what the Obama administration is doing because they don't publish, they don't really tell us a lot. In fact, this is one of my major problems I've had with this whole program is we don't get a lot of good communication from this. The states are really cut out of this refugee resettlement. It's a relationship between the federal government and the refugee settlement agencies directly. And while we've been asking for more information, and the Obama administration has provided some additional information, we don't find out about who the refugees are until after the fact. And we don't even get their names. What we get is just age groups and how many people, and that's after they're already here in our state. And that is concerning from the standpoint of we need to protect the public safety. You know, Nebraska has always been a welcoming state to different refugee groups, whether it's been the Vietnamese or the Yazidis or the Sudanese. But we need to make sure that we're prioritizing the safety of our citizens first. And when the Obama administration doesn't give us information and they take refugees from areas like Syria, war torn countries like that, we don't have good information. In fact, FBI Director Comey said that you can have a database, but if it's empty, it doesn't help. And this is where I and other governors have, you know, pressured the Obama administration to strengthen those protocols and those, you know, to make us feel comfortable with the fact that they're screening these people, and really gotten stonewalled by the Obama administration. And I'm expecting that the Trump administration will take a different approach and really urge them to, you know, dig into how they screen people, especially from these war-torn countries where I don't have any confidence, if our FBI director doesn't have any confidence, that we can know who is actually coming to our country. Yeah, we've always been welcoming, but we've got to prioritize our security first.
I was concerned about it last week, and that was before that I knew the governor doesn't even know where they're at, who they are, how they get here.
Yeah, the administration can do a lot more to help us here at the states find out about what's going on with regard to these refugee resettlement programs. The Obama administration has really, like I said, they've given us a little bit more information, but they are not giving us as much as they could.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, my whole life has been about managing animals. And in my lifetime, I've managed 1 million farm animals. And our number one job is to protect the health and implement the greatest biosecurity measures we possibly can. If the state of Nebraska and the country were a group of animals on a farm, it would be the most worst biosecurity system ever put into place, particularly with what we know. Look at Minnesota. In 2014, 66% of the refugees who were tested were positive for TB. And we've already seen in Nebraska, around Omaha, there was a school that had a TB problem. This year, I think, or last year now, 2016, Shadron had some TB cases. This is a public health risk. I don't know that it's a hazard, but it's a risk. And I think that people aren't really looking at it correctly.
Yeah, this gets back to what I expect of the Trump administration is really re-look at the entire refugee program to make sure we're protecting ourselves not only from a safety standpoint when it comes to terrorism and people coming from war-torn countries and we don't know who they are, and also from the health standpoint. So it is concerning that, you know, for example, every refugee does get screened for tuberculosis before they come here, and if they test positive, they can't travel here. But tuberculosis is the kind of disease that can be late And so what happens is if they come here and get tested again, that's when they'll have to, you know, be isolated and get medical treatment, which, of course, that we as a state, you know, we pay for that. The government pays for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the rate of TB among refugees seems high. And so this is where, again, I'm really going to urge the Trump administration to really look at all the aspects of the refugee resettlement program. We certainly want to remain a welcoming country, but we absolutely have to make the safety of our citizens the number one priority.
Okay, but we can't every time we turn around say, we just need to hold our breath for 3 weeks and it'll all be okay. Because it seems like at every turn we're just waiting till January 21st, but there's a lot of damage could be done between now and then.
Well, again, we tried, you know, I've organized with other governors across the country to put pressure on the Obama administration. Actually, this was early last year, and we just got stonewalled by them. So we're not going to see this administration be responsive in the last couple of weeks. It really will require the Trump administration to come in and be responsive to our concerns.
Okay. We're in the final 30 seconds. Any profound bits of wisdom today? Usually I've got a zinger for you right here at the end, but I guess I'm coming up short on my slider.
Well, I hope everybody just has a fantastic, happy new year. We've got a lot of opportunity here in Nebraska. Certainly, we're facing some trying times with regard to commodity prices and cattle prices. But one of the things about Nebraskans is we persevere. We've got grit. And we just got to work our way through these times, and that's what we do as Nebraskans. We work together to get through it.
How's your Mandarin, by the way? You might need to go back to China pretty quick.
Well, it's one of the things, frankly, I hope the Trump administration can help us with. You know, China's market for our beef has been closed since 2003 because of one case of BSE from Washington State. And for years they've been saying they've been opening it up. And I expect the Trump administration to negotiate very hard to get that cattle market opened up, or the beef market opened up for us, so we can start exporting our products there. You know, that beef market in China has gone from $139 in 2010 to being $2.58 billion in 2015. We're missing out on a huge opportunity there, and right now that need is being met by South America and Australia. So it's time for us to get those, trade barriers dropped so we can start exporting our beef there, and that'll be one of the things we can do to help our producers here at home.
That's the governor of Nebraska, 150 years strong. The state's 150 years, not Pete Ricketts. I'm Trent Luce, Luce Trails and Tales. Tell the First Lady, she's on my radar screen now, Governor.
I will let her know. We'll get her set up for an interview with you.
Luce Trails and Tales, always remember, be gentle, stay firm.